can't handle the truth.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Do I feel lucky?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome back to another episode of Through the Lens. Once again, this is Darren and
Tracy.
I'm actually glad to have you back. I think you skip episodes now on purpose, so I actually appreciate it when you're here.
That's probably a good guess.
Because I did a couple, I did Transformers on my own, and that is hard, because you were nice enough to let me to see it. I jammed it in.
Yep.
But Marcia didn't get a chance to see it, so I couldn't have her pinch it. It's hard to go solo.
Yeah. You sounded frustrated.
Wow. But frustrated is an interesting word. It was tough.
Yeah. But you sounded like it was tough.
Well, because I like to make fun of the person I'm talking to, and I can't do that if it's just me.
So, right.
This is an interesting thing today. So what are we reviewing?
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
The reason I say it's interesting is you saw this before I saw it.
Yes, I saw it yesterday.
I didn't even get to see your reactions in the theater. We haven't said a word about it.
Yep.
So this is completely cold. I'm very interested to see what you thought of this movie. Before we get to that, let's hit with the stats. Rating, length, is there an end credit scene?
The rating is PG-13 for violence, I guess.
I don't recall really any curse words.
I was thinking too, that's why I made the face. I don't recall any curse words and there was no sex, so violence.
Yeah, PG-13, violence. And then how long is it?
It's 2 hours and 34 minutes.
Is it that long?
I know. I didn't even look at my watch when I watched it.
I am freaking surprised that it's that long. It does kind of fly by.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do a lot of slow setup where you're like, okay, now we're going to get going. Is there an end credit scene?
No, there is not.
I'm going to have to trust you because you told me not there wasn't one, and so I didn't watch. I believe you. Okay, so I learned this while I was waiting to see the movie with your Strand fan here at the lovely Strand Theater. People who are under our age don't necessarily know who Indiana Jones is or haven't seen the movies.
That is correct.
This is one of the core things we know, right? Indiana Jones is the guy.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, I might have seen one.
Indiana Jones. Yeah, a couple of the kids were like, oh, I saw the first one.
Yeah, and it's weird because in this era of streaming, you just assume that these cultural things like Star Wars, because Indiana Jones is probably right up to that level of that was the movie you saw when.
Yeah, did you see the credits? Spielberg and Lucas were involved in this. And
were they, though, or did they just put their name on it because they made the property?
Executive producers.
Yeah, I know, but you're in the business. Does that really mean anything, or is that just we're going to put your name on it?
Executive producers are the ones that fund the film.
Okay, well, you always see producers on there and okay, they just gave them credit.
Executive producers fund the film. Producers, they do all the talking up. They do the PR, the junkets, and all of that stuff.
Because the original, if you notice, this is getting into the weeds, but this is a Disney Lucasfilm production, because Lucasfilm is Star Wars, but also Indiana Jones. That was George Lucas.
Right.
And Disney bought Lucasfilm back when they got Star Wars. I didn't realize that this came along with it, because they haven't really done Indiana Jones in a while.
Right.
And so Spielberg directed the original ones, correct?
Yes.
So that's a little bit more background. So let's talk about this, because a lot of these people, these whippersnappers nowadays, don't know.
And John Williams, it was his last score. He's 90-something.
What do you mean it was his last score? He's not dead, is he?
No, but this was his last film that he scored. He's not doing it anymore.
But what if they make another Jurassic Park?
He's done.
Do not tell me that.
He's done.
Don't. I'm going to be so mad at you. Don't tell me that. I love John Williams.
Yeah, he's
John Williams has done everything.
Yeah.
So, again, if you don't know the Indiana Jones movies, there's the Indiana Jones song that's right up there with the Superman theme.
Jaws.
And those are the ones that you know from movies.
Yeah.
So, that's a major movie song.
Yeah.
You've heard of that probably. So, let's put it in context. First, can you talk about the movies that came before this? Because this is another one of the Hollywood things now where they're doing sequels or reboot-quels or just tapping into old properties. So, there was original Indiana Jones movies. Yeah. There was three original ones, right? Indiana Jones, and the
Temple of Doom.
That was the second one.
That was the second
Raiders one. Of the Lost Ark
Raiders one. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then the third one was the one with Shia LaBeouf, wasn't it?
Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull was four. There was something about a grail or something.
The Holy Grail?
I don't think it was called the Holy Grail. Yeah, it just helps that we did a lot of research. I think there was two that came out, and then they did another one later on, and then they did Crystal Skull not too long ago, but still long enough that it's been a while.
Right.
The reason I bring that up is first two, epic. The one with Shia LaBeouf, kind of lame.
Yep.
And then the Crystal Skull kind of sucked too.
Crystal Skull. I don't even know if I saw that one.
So anyway.
I just knew the name.
So for people who don't know who Indiana Jones is, who is he? Who plays Indiana Jones, Tracy?
Harrison Ford.
Where else might we know Harrison Ford? Don't go deep dive here. Go obvious.
The Fugitive.
Dude, he's Han Solo.
I know.
Why are you digging into these other movies?
Because I knew you were going to say that.
I knew you were going to do that. Oh, Tracy, never change. He is Han Solo, which makes him one of the two iconic characters in movie history. Again, this is basic if you know who Indiana Jones is, but I'm learning that not everyone does. What is Indiana Jones?
Blade Runner, 42, Air Force One, Expendables 3.
Get off my plane. Well, who is Indiana Jones? Not who is he, like the actor, but like what's the deal with this character?
Indiana Jones is an archaeologist.
But he's more than that. He's an archaeologist adventurer, I would
say. Yes. He goes to the sites and he has adventure.
And
he searches for hard to find items.
The movies, I think the hallmarks of most Indiana Jones movies are they're kind of throwback movies. They're set in the past. They don't typically use a lot of CGI. They do a lot of practical stunts.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like an old like serial adventure movie from like those kind of black and white things or those hard comic books you used to get. You know, he's like an adventurer.
Think of The Mummy.
Yeah, actually, I think The Mummy was probably based a little bit off Indiana Jones.
Yeah, think of that.
Although, of course, we just used another movie that's really old for people nowadays. But
yeah.
But basically, there's some certain things that are in all the movies. He is an archaeologist, but all this stuff has some sort of supernatural kind of effects to it. And they always have like the traveling with I don't know if they invented it or they took it from something earlier, but when they're flying places, they show the map with the red line where the plane's going.
Yes.
That's in all the movies, I think, pretty much. And there's always like weird, funny chases and stuff. Like,
I like the map with the red line. I think that's kind of cool.
It's kind of a throwback, right?
Yeah.
But that's like something that's in a lot of movies now. I think that came at least modernly from Indiana Jones, but I'm sure we'll get fact checked by that. So Indiana Jones' adventure, he is an archaeologist. He does taking stuff. There's always, I don't know if it's every movie, but are Nazis like the perfect bad guy?
Yes.
Like nobody likes Nazis.
Yes.
So
in fact, some guy came in today and bought a ticket. And he said, I love Indiana Jones, and like Indy, I hate Nazis.
Thank you for that, sir. Yes. You're really going out,
like,
going out on a limb on that one. That kind of gives you a sense of what the time period is on these movies. But this is kind of an interesting movie. I'm going to put it in context. It's kind of set, not now, because that would be really old, but it's set kind of almost chronologically from when the last movie was made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if I'll give you an example. If the movies were done during World War II, this is in, what, 1950, 1960, to be figured out?
In the 50s, I think, yes.
50s, so it is way later,
yeah.
But it's not modern times because he would be a million years old or whatever.
Yep.
So it is still a period piece, but it's a different period, but still Nazis.
Yes.
They're always good for stuff. So let's talk about who else is in this movie, because Indiana Jones is a thing, but, you know, other movies have always had other colorful characters that kind of help carry the film. So who is, there's probably one, I don't want to say big star, but one kind of big name in the movie that plays a major role. The girl.
Oh, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
She's like a thing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
She's not like a mega star, but she's in one of those like shows that like people watch, but no one really watches.
She got an Emmy for a TV show that I never saw called Fleabag. I think it was on Netflix.
It's one of those like prestige shows that everyone's like, oh yeah, we watched that, but I don't know how that many people actually watch it.
And she was one of the writers of No Time to Die.
That's interesting.
I know, right?
So I saw her on Saturday Night Live. Is Fleabag, she's kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
But this movie, she has charisma, but she kind of is in an action role, sort of.
Yeah.
Who was the girl in the original Indiana Jones? That they're going to play the girl that he was with, like in the Temple of Doom and stuff. The love interest, kind of main character.
Karen Allen.
She seems to be stepping into that role in the movie, like but probably a little bit less femme fatale.
Yeah, but she's his goddaughter.
I'm not talking about the love interest, but there's like in Temple of Doom, there's her and there's the little kid.
Yeah.
And they're riding in the carts.
Yeah.
This one has kind of a kid and a girl. That's kind of, yeah. I just meant the archetype, not.
Okay.
He's not trying to date her or anything. That'd be creepster. Really creepster.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you need to see the other Indiana Jones movies to see this one?
Well, first, we got to talk about the villain.
Oh, yeah. He's like a guy.
Yeah. It's Mads Mikkelsen. And for those of you who watched Hannibal that was on regular TV, he was Hannibal.
He plays a bad guy pretty much in everything he does.
Yes, and he's a very good bad guy. He was in Fantastic Beasts, the Dumbledore one, too.
I never want to say someone looks kind of creepy, but he always looks kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does a good job.
He was in Doctor Strange, Casino Royale.
He was bad in both of those.
Yep.
I wonder if he's like the guy from Game of Thrones, Joffrey, where people like actually hate him in real life because he does such a good job in his movies. Because he's always really bad.
Yeah.
Like you don't. He does a good job of wanting you to like bite it, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't really try in this movie. Indiana Jones is like a throwback. It's like an old time serial. They're not trying to do this nuanced like the bad guy's kind of good, or they don't go into his backstory about why he's really got a motivation. That's like, he's not Thanos. They're just bad.
Yeah.
It's Nazis. There's no good Nazis, you know.
And he was not only bad, he was kind of like crazy.
And just creepster.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about anyone else without spoiling who's in it?
No, I think that's good. But it is directed by James Mangold, who directed Logan. There's your
Comic book talks. Yeah. I didn't get anybody from the movie or the cast of it.
He also directed Ford versus Ferrari.
Solid movie.
Yeah. And Copland, which is one of my favorites.
With Rambo?
Yes, it's one of my favorites. And I don't know if you saw this, Identity, where there's a bunch of people at a hotel, like a motel.
Oh, it's like a weird thing. It's like one of those like whodunit trapped room.
Yes. Kind of things. Love that.
That was pretty good. He did that?
Yeah, he did that.
I don't want to say anything else, but I will just say, okay, let's go into this question. Do you have to see the other Indiana Jones movies to understand this movie?
I think you need to see Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I might, for the first time, disagree with you. I don't think you need to see anything because it's self-contained. They don't really reference any of their movies. They don't reference any plot points, really. But I will give a caveat to what I just said. There are cameos.
Yes, that's...
And a couple plot points that you will have a better understanding of if you've seen the other movies, but they pretty much explain it. Like...
Yeah.
Like the stuff about his family.
Yes.
That you will understand that better if you've seen the movies, but they pretty much tell you what you need to know, I think, in the movie.
Yeah, but the one thing I didn't know...
Well, we can't talk about what
we can't,
don't spoil
we can't talk about
we don't spoil
it.
On this show.
We'll talk about it after when we're done.
I have not seen these movies since they came out or when I saw them. So like they're a little fresh, but like there's some characters that I recognize that you might not.
Yes.
You might not get the significance of why they're there.
Yep.
And there's, as again, the family stuff. I think if you've seen the movies, you'll gain a greater appreciation.
Yes.
But I don't think you have to see it. If you Indiana Jones is an adventure. If you want to know the iconic scenes, there's the one where he's measuring the sand to steal the idol and he mismeasures and then the boulder's chasing him. That's probably the one. And then Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think, is at Temple of Doom.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then Temple of Doom, I think, is when they're on the mine carts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't think you really need... They don't like reference like, hey, remember that time I found the Lost Ark? You know, they don't do any of that. So I don't think you need to see it. But in many ways... Like most of the movies nowadays that aren't comic book movies, it really is a nostalgia movie. I mean, you're in there because you like to see Indiana Jones. I don't know if you would really love the movie if you didn't know the character and see the early movies, but I don't think plot-wise you need to see it. That's my take. But I do want to talk about the CGI.
Yeah, I thought...
Wait, before you give me your opinions.
Okay.
I'm not saying they didn't use CGI, but these movies were made like in the 80s. I don't think they really had CGI. A lot of practical... effects. It's a lot of car chases and people jumping between cars. but it's not like over the top Fast and the Furious style. So it really is not a CGI franchise. But this movie, I don't think it's a spoiler, they've been writing about it. They de-age Harrison Ford for part of the movie.
Yes.
And so that is a very fraught technique because sometimes it looks good, sometimes it looks kind of creepster and bad.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, I think, and this is also coming after The Flash, which has been ridiculed for its bad CGI.
Yeah.
I thought the de-aging went pretty well.
Yes, I agree.
It really captured his facial expressions. The lips moved when he talked. It felt like Harrison Ford. There was one part where he kind of came out of the shadows a little bit, and it looked a little kind of like the coloring was off. Like the light came on him in the one place in the early scene.
Yep.
But otherwise, it was pretty good. Yeah, it's not that long. It's probably the first third of the movie, first quarter.
Yep. I thought it, was good. It was well executed.
Like, I'm sure if you're a CGI snob, you're going to be like, oh, it sucked. But like, it felt pretty good. And they used a lot. It wasn't just like a one cameo in that. Like, he talked with it. Like, it was probably a major part of the movie. So I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was better than the Ant-Man de-aging of, who was it, Michael Douglas? Or no. Yeah, it was Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Who else?
And got, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Who else got de-aged recently?
Well, Robert De Niro in The Irishman.
I never saw that. Was that good?
I thought it was pretty good.
I mean, here's the thing with the de-aging. You got to take it, you got to really suspend your disbelief. It can't be perfect. I mean, I guess deep fake technology is pretty good, but it's got to be good enough that it doesn't take you out of the movie completely. I think they did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was not annoying. So that was probably the most major CGI in it, except for obviously the end of the movie probably had a lot of CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But it still kept true other than the de-aging and some stuff to the chasing, the kind of hectic, this person's over here, this person's over here, and they cross paths and they break apart. And they, I felt a lot of that looked pretty good. I don't know how much CGI was in it, but...
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. But yeah, it wasn't cheesy either, because sometimes it can be cheesy because it just doesn't work with the story.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of just kind of, I can't even describe, it's kind of, I think it's got kind of the same kind of stuff that's in all the other movies.
Yep.
It's hard, you know, but I thought some of the stuff was cool. There's a scene with a horse that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
This movie also did a decent job of establishing bad secondary bad guys, which is kind of one of my bonus points thing. We talked about the main bad guys pretty good.
Yeah.
But they did a nice job of giving some personality to at least, what would you say, two of the other ones?
Two of the other ones, yep.
There was a couple generics, don't get me wrong, but they have to have the secondary bad guys because... If you got to kill off some people and be like, yeah. What did you think of the plot? It's definitely different. I mean, it had a lot of the hallmarks. Indiana Jones movies are very MacGuffin-like. He's got to get this thing.
Yeah.
But this one really took a different turn, didn't it?
Yes.
Spoiler free.
I like the plot. I mean, you didn't have any questions the way they set it up. And there's character redemption as well. Like, things come full circle.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by where they went with it. I didn't think an Indiana Jones movie would go there. Talk about the end. Not the very, very end. The climactic scene, how's that?
No, I sort of knew. I knew all about the, I can't pronounce it, Arimathea.
Okay, I mean.
I knew what it was for. I knew what.
You're saying because you read it or because you like predicted it?
No, I knew what Archimedes did, so I knew.
You're telling me you knew about Archimedes before this movie, and this movie's kind of accurate?
Well, yeah.
Unlike Drake's Uncharted, where we learned that Magellan did not actually go around the world. I sent you up just to get that in there.
Of course you did. Yeah, I knew about Archimedes.
I mean, I knew who he was, and he was a math dude. You're telling me that some of this stuff was kind of like sort of realistic?
Yes.
My mind is blown. I can't even continue this. I really feel like Uncharted, where we learned that Magellan didn't go around the world.
Yeah, we can't say, but yes, I knew.
So, look, if people are going to watch the movie after they listen to this, you're telling me some of that junk is real?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, man, I'm about to curse on there. Yeah, okay, well, that's cool. Did you like the plot then?
Yes, I did.
It didn't have any, like, okay, that was dumb, why'd they do that? Although I will say this, and this is, again, kind of, it's a throwback movie. there are probably about 15 times where Indiana Jones probably should have just been shot and killed, but they're like, we'll just keep him around and take him places.
Yeah, and okay, just I'm just going to say two words, and it's going to make Darren really mad. Christopher Nolan.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say Oppenheimer trailer.
Well, wasn't that trailer good?
Yeah, it was great. I'm so excited to be in Comic-Con for that one. What are you saying? You felt like this movie had some Christopher Nolan touches to it?
For those of you who listen regularly to this podcast, Through the Lens with Tracy and Darren, you know I love Christopher Nolan, and there's one common denominator in all his films, and that's all I'll say.
That's fair. And you will know that I don't always hate him, but I've started to hate him.
Oh my gosh, Oppenheimer's going to be epic.
Oh my gosh. You're going to blow up when you see it.
I am.
Who is going to like Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny?
Well, certainly with the demographics we've been seeing at the theater, people of a certain age that, you know, grew up with him and just love the franchise.
I will say this, I saw it at your first showing tonight, and yes, it definitely skewed toward a certain demographic that I don't often see packing a movie theater, and you were pretty packed in there.
Yeah.
Like, it was a situation where I could not pick whatever seat I wanted. I had to, like, literally sit in the seat I was assigned.
Yeah, so, you know, it's wholesome entertainment. It is a great popcorn movie. Like I said at the top of the show, I didn't even look at my watch. So I think that if younger, like teens, are into, you know, exploration and exploring and, you know, maps and that kind of thing and finding
stuff.
You
are totally unselling it. No one likes maps.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
I do. I will say this. Here, you will like this movie if you like movies that basically ripped off the original, like National Treasure, things like that, where there's like a hunt for clues and puzzles and information.
And the Mummy.
I guess that's all those kind of like swashbuckling rogue here.
That's what I meant to say.
Based on Indiana Jones.
Yes.
I was a little worried because sometimes when we see movies like from the 80s and 90s and we go back and watch them now, like our tastes have moved where they're too slow. Like it was great at the time. They're like, wow, now we've just revved everything up because our attention spans are lower.
Yep.
And I haven't gone back and watched the earlier Indiana Jones movies, so I can't tell you if they hold up. I assume they do because he remains popular. But this movie did a good job with its pacing.
Yeah.
Like it did not have slow moments where you're just slow down.
Yeah, the action scenes just kept on coming. And there were a couple things that I saw that I don't think I have seen in any other action movies. And one of them happened when they were in the little carts.
Yeah, the chase scenes?
Yes.
There's a couple. I mean, basically what Spielberg has always been good at doing is doing the set pieces.
Yeah.
Set pieces and stuff like that. And this has some set piece things like that.
Camels.
Yeah. But so yeah, I you know, it's hard to be original. Everything is the same now. But this did not feel like, I don't know if I want to say this because people get mad at me. I don't feel like this is like as much of a cash grab as people probably think it is.
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, we're gonna make another movie because we're gonna make money. Let's do another 15 Star Wars movies, and people feel like it's the same movie they've seen. And
I think this was for the fans.
Yeah, I felt like a little bit more respectful of the source material than like, you know what this felt like to me? This is a good comparison. It felt like the most recent Ghostbusters as opposed to the reboot Ghostbusters, which seemed like a cash grab.
Yes, I agree. And what I also think is, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything. I mean, Indy Jones is in the movie. He's 70 years old. And, you know, remember back in the day, he was like, I don't know, he was probably sexiest man alive at some point back in the day. But they show him, like, what he looks like now.
In his underwear.
And I think, you know, the whole aging prospect, they really focused on that throughout the movie. And I thought that was a very honest take on it.
And I'm going to go spoilerfully. They explain some things that you might be like, well, how are they making this movie without this going on? I think they explain some stuff, so it kind of hangs.
Yeah.
Although I don't feel any of the movies, including Crystal Skull, really have ever answered about the, what is the Grail movie? The one with Sean Connery. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He's the dad. The Holy Grail, the...
Something like that. Yeah. I just feel like none of the movies have explained that one, but that's okay. These movies are like, I really think they're like a serial, so you don't have to see the other ones. They're like other chapters, but it's nice. You will get more nostalgia if you've kind of watched the movies, and you...
Yeah.
I really think so. But I think it's a solid action movie. It does keep your attention. It's not a I mean, there's CGI in it. You probably will pick it out, but it's not a CGI fest where the whole... Like, and I liked this movie, but other people didn't like Ant-Man, where the whole world is CGI. Like,
yep.
It's just fun chases and punching people and shooting with old style guns. There's no like lasers, and I think every Indiana Jones movie probably has a little bit of the physics defying, but it just feels a little bit more realistic than, like, you know, he's not jumping from an airplane on top of a train and then blowing up a dam and or whatever. I'm talking about all the stuff that happened in Fast and the Furious at some point. So I think you'll, it's a throwback movie, but I think you'll like it, and I think you'll like the source material. So that's who I think will like this movie.
Yeah.
All right, is it time to rate this thing, Tracy?
Yep.
Well, I always make you go first because I have a phone, so go for it.
For Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny, I give it a solid 9. I thought it was a great service to the fans. I didn't look at my watch. The cast, I thought, was very well played. The CGI wasn't cheesy, and the plot and the story, it flowed. I mean, it was a natural progression. There was nothing that happened that said, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, there was nothing like that. So I give it a 9.
So don't disagree with anything you said. I'm going to give it a slightly lower score. And I think part of it is because I also like Harrison Ford, but I probably am more of a Star Wars guy. You know, I like comic book movies. Indiana Jones is one of those things where I like the song. I've seen the movies, but I wouldn't go back and watch it. So it didn't have as much of like a, I'm ready for this. I need this movie. So I'll give it an 8 because I thought it was going to be another cash grab, you know, another Disney going to the vault.
But it wasn't.
I didn't feel it was, but I thought it was going to be. So it exceeded my expectations because it was like, I really felt like the Crystal Skull, I didn't know why they made it. It was like...
Yeah, that was like the worst one probably.
It was like, hey, you know what? It's been a while. Let's make another one. And that's what I thought this was going to be again. But I feel like it was better than that. Again, we just walked out of it, so I might think of all the things that make me mad later. So give it an 8 only because just it's my genre in terms of action, but I do tend to like more explosions and fighting and stuff like that. Although there was some pretty cool fights in this movie.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm deducting a quarter because I did have to see Harrison Ford in his underwear.
Yeah.
So, Tracy, we're getting close to my Comic-Con trip, but we're not there yet.
Yes.
First, when can we see Indiana Jones at Strand?
Okay, well, tonight there's one show left at 9 o'clock.
I will get this up in the next 15 minutes so people can turn their podcast on and race over here.
Yes. Saturday, 1, 5, and 9. Sunday, 1, and 5. Wednesday, the 5th, 4, and 8. And Thursday, the 6th, 4, and 8.
So just so people, as a public service announcement, and listen to your dates, you're not open on the 4th of July.
We are not open on the 4th of July, and we're only open on the 5th because of the holiday.
And the next question is, what is coming next week, if you know? I'm trying to cram in all the movies I can before I leave.
Well, we still have Asteroid City playing this week and next.
Oh, you basically just got Asteroid City.
Yeah, though. We just got it.
I guess we should tell people that. So yes. It's this week and next. So we might review Asteroid City for next week.
Yeah, I think we should. And then we have... The Sound of Freedom, which is based on a true story with Jim Caviezel. And that will be playing Wednesday and Thursday this week and then next week. But I guess what everyone's waiting to hear about is a week from Wednesday is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I'm glad you said Part 1 because I'm still a little pissed at Spider-Verse.
Why?
For not telling us it was basically like a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they would have said Spider-Verse Part 1, I'd be like, oh, okay, I just gotta, you know. So, That's not going to be the 4th of July week. That's the week after.
That's the week after. And that comes out on a Wednesday, and we will be open on that Wednesday.
So we can't guarantee we'll get our schedules together with the holiday and Tracy being busy and whatnot, but there's a pretty decent chance we will review Asteroid City for you guys next week.
Yep.
But if for some reason we don't, we will be back for sure for Dark Reckoning Part 1.
Dead Reckoning.
By the way, I'm going to say this now, and I'm sure I'll say it again. How many times can they like think that this Ethan Hunt has like betrayed their country? It sounds like, if you look at the trailers, they're after him again.
Yeah.
Every movie, they're like, he got framed, we better go kill him. Like, haven't you learned that he never does anything bad? Hasn't it been pretty much every movie?
Yeah. When I saw the trailer, my heart was like racing, and I was like, yeah, I said it at the end. I can't wait.
Mission Impossible is interesting because they do a lot of practical stunts too. Tom Cruise is really big on
that. Yeah, he's... Yeah.
I have another problem. Does Tom Cruise dye his hair?
I don't know.
He's got to, right?
I don't know.
He's older than me, I think, and I'm getting some gray up in here.
He's older than me.
Yeah, I'm getting some legit gray, and I'm a pretty youthful-looking dude, if I say so myself, but he's like totally looks like he's like 20 years younger than me.
You're a youthful-looking dude, if you do say so yourself.
You like that? This episode's going off the rails. I think there's something going on with Tom Cruise. Either he's made sort of a deal with somebody who's nefarious, like the devil, to never look old, or
he is a Scientologist.
It finally hit me that like I think he looks younger than I do, and I know he's way older than me.
Well, there's lots of people that look way younger than you,
but most of them are younger. Who looks younger than me besides Tom Cruise, who's really old?
Like Jeremy Renner.
He looks like he's been through some stuff.
Well, after the snowplow
accident. Oh, come on. Oh, you're going to get us canceled. Okay, I will give you Paul Rudd if you want to go to the Marvel Universe. Paul Rudd is another guy who's aging backwards.
Yeah, Paul Rudd. That's a good one.
Man, I can't believe you said that. Jeremy Renner, if you're listening, we hope you feel better.
Yeah, we're sorry. Sorry, we
Hawkeye.
Love you.
We do love you, Hawkeye.
Oh, I know. Oh no, he's young. Forget it.
Oh, who were you going to say now?
No, I'm not going to say.
Now you got to say it
because you're going to say I'm a dummy.
I'm not going to say you're a dummy, but I'm probably going to get mad. Who is it?
Never mind.
No, now you got to do it. This episode's not going to end until you do it. We're already half an hour.
Greg Sestero.
From The Room.
Yeah.
How old is he?
I think he's going to be 44 or 45.
Well, he's my exact age, but yes, he looks way better than me. I will give you that.
Yeah.
He
used to be a model, you know.
I never was, so we probably aged exactly the same percentage.
Shut up.
He started off so much better looking than me, and he's still better looking than me. Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Marcia's going to kill us over this episode. I know she's going to be listening. Anyway, this has been fun. The end. I got you off the rails like my brother and I did every time we do a review.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see you next time on Through the Lens.